What is going on, everybody? This is Jason Soli back with the All Sports Culture podcast. This is Highlighted. We've been gone for a couple weeks. I had a surgery, so I wasn't looking or feeling presentable. So we've taken a little bit of a break, but we're back now just in time for the Super Bowl and time to talk conference championships right before the NBA All-Star break and everything. So I'm here with my co-host, Soli. How's it going, man?
I'm doing good, baby. Let's get it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump right into what I think everyone's going to want to talk about. Conference championship weekend happened. Super Bowl matchup set in Las Vegas. You got the Chiefs, who honestly, we both talked about this in previous episodes. It almost felt inevitable, but it was hard to pick them because of how bad they had been and how big of struggles they've had. But they find a way to get in it, and then the Niners find a way to pull it out against the Lions. So let's start on the AFC side. Maybe just your opinions, what you thought. Did you expect the Chiefs to win? You know, just give me your rundown on that, and then we'll kind of dive into the game a little more.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like you said, I've come to the point where I'm never really going to bet against Mahomes, even if it doesn't look that good. Obviously, they had tightened it up a little bit earlier on in the playoffs, but, you know, obviously the second half of just the entire NFL regular season, they really didn't look like that team that could make a deep run, but they got Mahomes and they figured it out. I kind of thought not necessarily how the game would have went, but the result, I had the Chiefs. I know everyone talks about the NFL being rigged. They don't want the Chiefs to lose. Taylor Swift, just Patrick Mahomes, all that nonsense. But it is kind of crazy because when you look at it, the Ravens were obviously the best rushing team in the NFL, and they every single game they had over 20 rushes, and they had six rushing attempts to the running backs, that is, in that game, which is insane. And it was not a game that was out of reach at all. It was very close in terms of the score the entire game. So that really just doesn't make a lot of sense. It really seemed like they tried to just switch up what they were doing. Not that Lamar hadn't been a great passer this season. Obviously, he's going to win MVP. He had a great passing season. But it is just weird that you would kind of switch up your team's identity and your game plan in that game. And obviously, that wasn't the main issue. Zay Flowers, the fumble was absolutely brutal. He had a really bad penalty as well, for as good as he's been this entire year. But yeah, Chiefs, inevitable. Patrick Mahomes, he's probably, I mean, we could talk about the Super Bowl, but he's already a top four or five quarterback of all time, like undeniable probably. And obviously if he wins the Super Bowl, he's might be sitting at number two. So it's crazy. Yeah.
I agree with you. I thought the Ravens game plan was so head scratching. It's like, what are they doing? They got here, and we all know Lamar's most dangerous with his legs. Like, no one's taking credit from that. And you don't have to run it with him every time. Cause you know, I think the Chiefs were trying to game plan and take away his scrambling ability and designed runs. But the fact that they just straight up abandoned the run after how good they have been. And like you said, that game was in reach and it shouldn't have been in reach. The Chiefs had every opportunity to blow them out of the water. The defense for the Ravens played incredible and held them in that game. But ultimately it came down to why everyone knocks Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, the turnovers, you know, the head scratching decisions. And so I was a little disappointed in the Ravens. I thought that they shouldn't have been in the game and they were at the end, but because they abandoned their thing or their style and you know what got them there, kind of came to bite him in the butt. And you know, obviously the fumble is going to be a huge one and the penalty, but I just thought the game plan was like, why are you abandoning it? Like, the game is not out of reach. You know, they Chiefs go down and score, Ravens go down and march it right back and score, and then after that you're kind of like, holy crap, it felt like it was all Chiefs even though the score was closer. So yeah, you guys made a post, Patrick Mahomes 16 career playoff games, he's 13-3, so he's lost twice to Tom Brady and then once to Joe Burrow. 4,561 passing yards, 43 total touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. So, yeah, I mean, as a Patriots fan, it pains me to see the Chiefs in there, but what they are doing is incredible. Now, it does kind of irk me a little bit that people are already saying he's the GOAT, but I agree with you. He's a top four quarterback in the NFL right now, and if he wins this Super Bowl, I can't deny that what he's doing is Tom Brady-like, because it is. Like, he's putting up numbers in his 6 years as a starting quarterback. He'll have 3 Super Bowl victories, 2 MVPs. It's just what he's doing is incredible, and it pains me to say that, and probably because of how much of the GOAT talk he's getting and stuff, but he is a top four quarterback of all time in my mind too. I don't think he's number one, and I think he still has a long way to go for number one, but what he's done in six seasons as a starting quarterback is nothing shy of Tom Brady. And you know, he's getting up there if he can keep on this trajectory.
Yeah. I mean, to start off his career, he has made the Super Bowl in every single season besides the two that he didn't. He lost in overtime of the conference championship game where he didn't touch the ball. Yeah. That's insane. So obviously he lost those games, but he's pretty much like almost went to the Super Bowl every single season of his career that he started. So yeah, I wanted to make a post that was like, it ended up not getting done because obviously, as the viewers probably know, I say this all the time, I am not the graphic design expert at ASC. I make some of the posts, but I'm not very good at it. I'm the idea guy. So, but I had the idea that it was like Brady, Gronk, and Belichick, and it was like history repeats itself, and it's Reed, Mahomes, Kelsey.
Yeah.
And I mean, is it a crazy stretch to compare Belichick and Reed and Kelsey and Gronk? I mean, I don't think it's a crazy stretch. I mean, they're all kind of on similar levels. I think Gronk's better than Kelsey. I think Belichick's better than Reed. And I think Tom Brady may not be better as an individual player, but he's definitely greater. He has better accolades. So it would be like a little bit of a stretch, but it is funny. It's just right when you don't see dynasties a lot in the NFL. There's just so many like outliers, and injuries play a huge role. And obviously the Patriots had a ridiculous dynasty, and right when their dynasty ended, you're like, finally, we can just, you know, actually not necessarily enjoy the NFL again, because I loved watching the Patriots dynasty, because I was a Giants fan. That's why I loved it.
Yeah. Cause you guys pretty much, we would have been the greatest dynasty ever, and probably no one would have caught it without you guys, but
exactly. But, so right when the Patriots were done, you were like, all right, now we're going to get some, just different teams getting in there. And now it's the Chiefs again. So it's crazy to watch, and just a ridiculous resume. And another thing, and to add to like the Mahomes playoff record, it was a post we made today. It was a crazy but true, which is a thing we do a lot. Mahomes has the same amount of playoff wins, Super Bowl appearances, and rings as Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's entire career. And a lot of people would say Peyton Manning is the third greatest quarterback of all time. You know, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning. So after this season, even if Mahomes doesn't win the Super Bowl, I would say he's probably greater than Peyton Manning, but that might be a hot topic, but, that's my opinion.
Yeah. It'll be something to debate for sure. And he's still only, he's in his prime,
he's 28 years old.
Yeah. And we don't know, Tom Brady had the weird years where he kind of got carried by I'll admit it, like the defense and stuff won championships, but he was good enough. Like, I think he was better than Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy's getting carried, but he's better than what people are giving him credit for. And then Brady had those dominant years where they lost to the Giants and stuff. And then, he came back and won three more Super Bowls, and you're looking at Patrick Mahomes and you're like, okay, well, he might get three this year. He'll have two no matter what, but he might get his third. And then where do they go? Because there's rumors about Travis Kelce retiring. There's rumors about Andy Reid retiring and Bill Belichick going there, and seeing what Bill Belichick did to the Patriots and stuff without Brady should worry some Chiefs fans. But he already has a sound quarterback, so all he has to do is fix the defense, which defense is dang good for the Chiefs already. Spagnuolo's done a great job with them. So there's rumors, and that could definitely, not hinder his career, but it could slow it down and stuff. Getting rid of Andy Reid, one of the great offensive minds in NFL history, plus Travis Kelce, probably the best pass catching tight end, not all around tight end in my opinion, but pass catching one. That would be a huge loss for those guys, but we'll see how that goes. But let's move on to the Lions, the NFC Championship game. This one was crazy, man. I mean, you guys have a post and everyone's seen it. CJ Gardner-Johnson waving goodbye at 5 minutes left in the second quarter when they go up 21-7. And then, they go into halftime with a 17-point lead. And what does everyone know Kyle Shanahan for? Choking. And teams were not it was not favorable when they were down 17-plus points at halftime in conference championship games. And then the Niners kind of start playing, and there was a couple fourth downs that Dan Campbell went for, which in my opinion is his identity and why the Lions got to where they were. And so you can't really blame them, but yeah, you're going to look back because they lost. So give me your opinion on kind of that game, because I didn't care who won the NFC Championship game. I thought it was a great game and really fun to watch, but I do kind of feel bad for Lions fans after all that waiting and stuff, and they have this opportunity and they kind of squander it away.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, I have a sort of a same opinion in turn on like Dan Campbell, because a lot of people are blaming the game on him, obviously. Yeah. because they had a huge, you know, they had a huge lead, and then they make a couple questionable decisions and they end up choking it, and the Niners ended up winning. But like you said, that's kind of the reason why they got there. A lot of those decisions that he made in that game, he's made similar decisions during the regular season, and it worked out most of the time. Yeah. And that's kind of why they had such a good season, and a lot of reason why they had a lot of confidence and a good team chemistry, and that, you know, all that kind of stuff plays into making a deep playoff run. But I mean,
look, there's so many plays that you could look at that are just so insane that it was such like a 50-50 play that, and it changes the game. I mean, look at that deep pass to Ayuk that I don't even know whose head it was, but it went off someone's head on the Lions. And Ayuk caught it. Like, yeah, that was a crazy play. Gibbs fumbled the ball late in the game that, you know, pretty much handed it to the Niners on a silver platter. There's a lot of plays that I would say the Lions choked the game more than the Niners won the game. But like you said, I don't know if you've seen the clip, but they were obviously losing, I think, 24-7 at halftime. And it was like about to be halftime. And George Kittle went up to Brock Purdy and he was like, I love George Kittle. He's a very, you know, inspirational guy. He's the reason why that team has a lot of veteran leadership. And he pretty much went up to him and was like, dude, like, he's basically just like, you're that guy. Like, don't worry about what just happened. You're going to show him you're that guy in the second half. Keep slinging it. Keep doing your thing. And Brock Purdy made a lot of plays. And I think he's a little overrated in terms of like people saying he should win MVP, because I don't think that's the case. So he's obviously, you know, to me, not a top 7-8 quarterback. But, you know, even just to be in that conversation, you obviously know he's pretty good. And he made a lot of clutch plays, extending plays, scrambling for first downs late into that game that kind of extended that game. And he's a big reason why they won it, because that defense was not playing as well as they usually play. And it was kind of cool to see. Brock kind of had his moment a little bit to kind of shut people up.
Yeah, and for the Lions to go into Levi Stadium in San Francisco and push the Niners defense around like they did, like, they in the first half, they were able to run the ball at will. Like, the Niners front seven, you know, Chase Young, Nick Bosa, plus they have Fred Warner, Greenlaw. They were just running the ball. And I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs had his way. David Montgomery had his way. That offensive line was getting so much movement. Yeah, I agree that Brock Purdy had his moment, and the last two games, right, against the Packers and against the Lions. Now, if they start slow against the Chiefs, it's going to be a different story because they're a way better team. But as bad or as big of a game manager as people think Brock Purdy is, he has done enough, and he's done more than enough to help that offense and lead them. And now, obviously, they have Christian McCaffrey, Ayuk, Kittle, Debo. Like, they have weapons, but Brock Purdy is proven me wrong, and a lot of it has been with his legs. Like, he's been able to scramble, extend plays. He did a ton of that in the second half and kind of make the Niners more get back into the game. And so, yeah, I mean, Brock Purdy's not a top five quarterback in my mind. I think he's better than a lot of people give him credit for. But you know, this is going to be a fun Super Bowl. It's a rematch of the one 4 or 5 years ago when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl and the Niners kind of had that game, and they choked that one too, you know, and there was an opportunity. Jimmy Garoppolo throws a deep ball and, you know, barely misses them. And so this will be a fun Super Bowl. I think that where it's going to be one on both sides, in my opinion, but how the Niners offense is against that Chiefs defense, because everyone was like, we all know what Mahomes is, but man, Steve Spagnuolo has that defense rolling for the Chiefs. They're very hard to find out what they're going to do. They disguise pressures. They have a ton of underrated cornerbacks in the secondary. So it's going to be fun to watch that matchup. And then obviously, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Niners defense, that's going to be the highlight. But man, the Brock Purdy against, you know, how they run things for Kansas City and how effective Christian McCaffrey is and stuff. I think it's going to be a really fun Super Bowl. I'm excited to get this rematch and, you know, see how it turns out.
Yeah, I think it's funny. People are talking, like, I've seen so many memes and just stuff on Twitter that it's like, this is the worst possible Super Bowl we could have had. And I know a lot of that just stems from like the Taylor Swift nonsense and like all that kind of stuff, which is decently valid. I'm not a huge fan of that stuff either, but which actually I do want to make a comment about.
because we, I forget what it was. We made a meme or we had a caption, something to do with like anti-Taylor Swift. Like the Lamar Jackson, the Ravens versus the Chiefs design, because we do our game day designs for the playoffs. Our guy did a Captain America design where it was like, yep, Lamar versus like all the Chiefs players. And Taylor Swift was on the graphic and whatever. And we made it be like, Lamar needs to save us, blah, blah, blah. You know, just a little joke. And a lot of people comment and they're like, your companies, like you are the reason why the Taylor Swift stuff is so bad. The NFL doesn't really even like do that much stuff with it. And I thought that was crazy, because they show her like 10 times a game. Now, don't get me wrong. If Travis Kelce scores and throws a hard up, you could show Taylor Swift. I'm fine. If CMC scores and he throws a hard up, show Olivia Culpo. We all want to see that. There's no one that doesn't want to see that, all right? But if Isaiah Pacheco scores and you're throwing Taylor Swift up on the screen while he's doing a celebration, that's a problem. Also, look at NFL social media. Every other post has Taylor Swift in it. Her walking into the stadium, her, what she's wearing to the game, a commercial with her, whatever. It's like, we're not, ASC is certainly not the reason why this Taylor Swift drama is overblown and people don't like her or whatever. It's certainly not us. So I thought that was a crazy take, because we really haven't done that many Taylor Swift memes. You would think that we would have done a lot more for like who we are, because we haven't done a lot. But that's pretty much all I had to say.
I will say it is getting overkill. Like at first I was like, yeah, you know, this is a cool story. You know, obviously she's coming to the games and stuff. It's getting overkill. It really is. Like, I don't need to see her 10 times a game. I saw a report, and I don't know if it's accurate or not, so don't quote me on this, but that the NFL has gained like $330 million or profited because of Taylor Swift. So I don't know if the NFL's rigged. I don't want to believe that it is, because I love the NFL. But, man, I just don't put it past Roger Goodell or the NFL that they would do anything for money. And you know that this, because of this instance where Travis Kelce is in the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift's going to be there, it's going to have more eyes, it's going to have more fan, like all the Swifties would not watch the Super Bowl if it wasn't for like they are going to tune into the Super Bowl, and maybe they would be watching it because of the Super Bowl party, but what would they care about the Usher halftime show? They're going to pay attention to the whole game because of the fact that Taylor Swift is probably going to be shown on the Jumbotron or on TV 50 times in the Super Bowl, and there's going to be ads and everything about it. So it's getting a little overkill. I get why they're doing it, but I agree with you. I'm getting a little sick of it. It's crazy. The NFL kind of brought it upon themselves just how much they are showing her. And, you know, football fans just don't care. You know, honestly, yeah, cool. For the first couple of weeks, it was, we don't care. But now that you're like, just let them be. Like, there was a video too of Taylor Swift that said, like, get me off the camera or something, or she was mouthing it and someone caught it. And, like, I bet they're kind of sick of it too. You know?
Yeah, no, they definitely are. I feel like Travis has said that on his podcast or whatever. Yeah. And it's just ESPN made a post the other day that was like, can Taylor Swift make it to the Super Bowl? Because she has a concert in Japan the day before. Yep. And it's like 17 hours ahead. They're like, oh, she's going to be there Saturday night. Don't worry. I'm like, why is this even a post?
Yeah.
Why are we posting this?
Yeah, someone said something too about how Travis can't go to, is it the Emmys or whatever is happening this weekend, because he's at, no, duh, he's at Super Bowl Media Day.
That was TMZ. Yeah, I saw that. They had a crazy headline. It was like, Travis Kelce is skipping the Emmys on Taylor Swift's big night. We're like, what the fuck? He has his Super own Bowl responsibilities, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, so bad, bro.
And at the end of the day, we all know they're doing it for money because it brings in so much money. So, like, I can't be too mad at it. But the one thing that you're going to get a comment out of me is, like, when people are like, now, if there's five commenters saying ASC is the problem, that's literally 1/100 billionth or whatever you want to call it, 0.0001% of the comments on like ESPN and all them saying that they're the problem. But like for even one person to say that ASC is contributing to the Taylor Swift dilemma is fucking crazy. Yeah. So I don't know who that was, and they're probably not listening, but if you are, you're absolutely out of your mind. So
yeah.
That's people all I just about that.
Yeah, it's getting a little crazy. So, okay, let's hear it. Super Bowl prediction, who you want, what you think's going to happen. Give it to me right here, right now. What do you want? What do you think's going to happen? Who are you cheering for? Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we've just kind of talked about so many of the reasons why a lot of people dislike the Chiefs. And just to end one on top, Jackson Mahomes, not a big Jackson Mahomes guy. I'm sure a lot of people aren't.
It's crazy to think that Taylor Swift has taken so much of the headline off that we don't hear about Jackson anymore. Yes. Unless you're on TikTok.
Yeah.
But like, I honestly forgot about him and how annoying Brittany Mahomes was until you see Travis and Brittany hugging in the box and you're like, oh yeah, we still have to deal with her. That's geez. So
yeah. So with all that being said, surprisingly enough, and I'm a big Mahomes guy. I don't hate him as a person. I wouldn't say I love him as a person. But I love his game and I respect the greatness and I know how good he is. I know there's a lot of people that are like kind of like hating on, they just try to like tear people down when the athletes are really, really good. Obviously everyone did it to Brady during his career. And I feel like people are trying to do that to Mahomes now. Obviously there are also a lot of people sucking him off, but regardless of that, I'm a huge fan of Mahomes. So I'm kind of rooting for the Chiefs, even though like I said, there are a lot of things to dislike. And I think the Niners are a pretty good story as well, but I'm kind of rooting for the Chiefs. And I also do think that they're going to win. I just think that this is the best defense he's ever had. And I think if you give him, based on how the Niners defense played against the Lions, I think if you give Mahomes a little bit of room, if he puts a quick 21 on the board, I think it's lights out. With the Chiefs defense against Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl, Brock has showed that these moments aren't really too big for him so far. You know, he's obviously played well, like we said, and he's led comebacks, but this is the Super Bowl. This is kind of a different level. And Mahomes, this is like, you know, he's like brushing his teeth right now, like the going to the Super Bowl. That's what he does. He's taking a shit. So, you know, he's going to be ready for this best team. He's not best team, but best defense he's had. I think he's going to take this one.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if the Chiefs win. Like, I'm mentally preparing myself for that because of I feel like he's gotten, like, you don't bet against the Chiefs and Mahomes, kind of like what it was with the Patriots. Like, you just don't bet against them. And so I'm kind of mentally preparing myself for that. But I want, like, I'm to the point where I don't want Mahomes to win and the whole headline to be Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and stuff, that I'm willing to have the Niners tie the Patriots for 6 Super Bowls and the Steelers. I'm willing to have that happen so that it stops the Patrick Mahomes. Like you said, like the Chris Collinsworth, like just the dick riding of him. And mentally, like I said, I'm preparing myself for it. I feel like it's inevitable and it's going to happen, but I hope that it doesn't. I hope, because I like Brock Purdy. I think it's the Mr. Irrelevant story is awesome. I think the Niners have been so good for so many years, like since they went to that Super Bowl 5 years ago, trying to get over the hump, trying to get back to it. They still haven't. I'm all in on the Niners. I hope that they can fix some of the defensive issues, because that is a dang good defense too. But there was a little bit of a worrisome there for a minute when they were playing the Lions. So I hope they can figure it out. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is way better than Jared Goff. But I don't know if the receivers are better. It's going to be hard to stop Kelce and Mahomes, just because, like you said, like this is their element. This is what they do, and they're used to it. And so it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, I really hope that it's the Niners. And I think it'll be a good game. I really do. I think it'll kind of be like when they played a couple years ago. You know, hopefully it's not like last year where it's a really good game and then one call kind of decides it. I don't want to see any rigging of any sides or feel like it's one-sided or whatever. So it'll be a good Super Bowl, though. It's not my ideal Super Bowl. My ideal Super Bowl would have not had the Chiefs in it at all. But no, I think this is probably the best game possible, in my opinion, because you already saw the Ravens blow out the Niners. So I don't think it would have ended up like that. But you know, this will be a exciting Super Bowl. And obviously the headlines around it all week will drive us all nuts, because it probably won't be mostly about football. You know, I bet Travis Kelce is going to get 50 Taylor Swift questions. Oh, are you going to propose to her after you guys win, or blah, blah, blah. It's going to be like,
I think you can bet on that in DraftKings, by the way.
You can. Is that not insane? So they should have a line like over or under 25 and a half appearances on TV.
They probably do. They probably have that.
Yeah. So,
but you already know we're cooking up the Mahomes' first six seasons and Tom Brady's first six seasons accolades and stats. Yeah. If he wins the Super Bowl, I mean, it's, I know you're saying you're kind of like, you don't want to see the Chiefs win just because of, you know, all the media that's going to come out. But like, another thing to add to that is the Mahomes versus Tom Brady debate is going to be, First Take is going to debate that for maybe like 6 months in a row, every single day. It's LeBron versus Jordan. It's the new LeBron versus Jordan. And you know, they love that. So just be prepared for that.
Yeah. And I'm prepared. And, you know, I think that in my mind, Brady won his fifth Super Bowl and people still don't want to give him his roses over Montana. Like, people were still like, you know, Montana was 4-0, but Brady, you know, has lost three and he just got to, like, until Mahomes gets to 5 or 6, then he won't be pushing him. I'm not arguing that, like, in like individual talent, like, Mahomes is incredible. Like, I still think that Brady, you know, was a different player than Mahomes, but he was still so accurate. What he did until he was 44 years old and going and jumping to the worst franchise in NFL history, winning percentage wise and winning a Super Bowl first year, although that was a really good roster. I'm not going to give in on that. But yeah, Mahomes is catching him if he wins a third Super Bowl. And like you said, he'll probably jump into top three, maybe top two in the GOAT debate if he does, you know, secure this Super Bowl and stuff. But it will be Nick Wright and stuff will debate it, and I'll mute anything that says Nick Wright or Chiefs or GOAT debate or something for the next year on my phone and stuff. But it'll give them some views, that's for sure, because you know people will want to hear that discussion.
So for sure.
All right, well, that's the Super Bowl preview. Let's jump into some NBA talk, man. You guys made a post here, and I didn't realize this until I saw it because of how crazy it was. And obviously, you know, following the NBA, but was it not a crazy couple 2 weeks in the NBA? Karl-Anthony Towns goes for 62 the same night Joel Embiid goes for 70. And then what, a week later, if that, Luka goes for 73. So you guys have a post here.
And Devin Booker had like 62, I think.
Oh, yeah, he did. I forgot about that. So, and, you know, Devin Booker had 70 just a couple years ago in 2017. Mitchell had 71. So, yeah, most points scored in an NBA game since 2000. Obviously, Kobe's 81-point game. Donovan Mitchell, 71. Lillard, 71. Booker, 70. And then Embiid, 70. And then, you know, obviously this graphic was made before. But just a crazy 2 weeks where you have three guys scoring above 60 points and two of them above 70 in Luka and Joel Embiid. It was a crazy week scoring-wise for some of the stars in the NBA.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's a couple things to be said about this. I think the players in the NBA are getting better, especially shooting the basketball. And I know a lot of people say they just don't play defense. But if you think about it, if the players are getting better and they're better at shooting the ball and they're better at spreading the floor, it gets harder to play defense. Just because you can't pack the paint, you can't do a couple things, blah, blah, blah. You got to play them so far outside the paint, makes them easier for the drive. Whatever it is. So I think that's one thing to be said. Do I think there's less defense than there was, you know, 15, 20 years ago? Yeah, for sure. But it's definitely harder to play defense in the modern NBA, in my opinion. These players are just so good at shooting the ball. And also, I think there are a lot of players that could score 70. They just don't take 32 shots a night. Not to say that Luka and Devin Booker and Damian Lillard aren't incredible at what they do. They obviously are. But if you look at their point, their games, obviously, they, you know, they take 30 shots. And a lot of players don't do that. And my last takeaway is the fact that Cat got benched at the end of that game is hilarious. I was actually watching it because I was looking and he had whatever it was, like 44 points at halftime. And I was like, holy shit, like he's going crazy. I'm gonna turn the game on. And he was just ripping it from the 3-point line, like at the end of the game. And they were up 16 points going into the fourth quarter and they lost the game. Because he was just taking shots like 5 feet from behind the 3-point line and missing. And then he ended up getting benched and then they lost the game. So that was hilarious. I'm not a huge Karl-Anthony fan or Towns fan. But then the last thing was the Hornets announcing team was absolutely hilarious. Did you see clips of like that game from their side of you?
I didn't.
Oh my God, these guys were having like a heart attack whenever he would shoot the ball. Do you know anything about the Hornets announcers?
Yeah, I mean,
over the top, dramatic. Yes. Not to say like they're bad, but like that's what they do. They kind of just like try to make it interesting by being like crazy and screaming and whatever. Yeah. And he had like 45 points in the first half, and it was like 30 seconds left. He took a deep three. He made it. This guy fucking yelped into the microphone like he was being stabbed. It was hilarious. It was super funny. But yeah, it was, that was a crazy game.
I'm going to have to go watch those because yeah,
it was super funny. I've heard TikTok, some of, if you just search it, probably.
I've heard some of the, you know, when Miles Bridges or someone's had like one of those dunks and they, it sounds like they're like falling off their chair. And like their voice goes distinctively quiet because you can tell they're like going back or moving their microphone. So they're not so loud. It's funny. So I got a question for you on this. If anyone's going to pass Kobe Bryant's 81 point mark that's currently in the NBA, who would you put your money on?
I wouldn't say Luka. I mean, I watch Luka play all the time. One of my favorite players. I just don't understand how the guy scores so much. It doesn't really make any sense. Like he nothing against him. I believe he is maybe, you know, he might be the best NBA player right now. I think he might win MVP. But he looks like he should be bagging groceries. Like it's insane. And that's coming from someone who, like, you know, I can't fucking dribble basketball. Well, a little bit, but it's pretty bad.
Well, did you see the picture of Patrick Mahomes, too, and comparing him to Tom Brady? It's like, guys don't look like NFL quarterbacks.
I want to do a post where it's like Tom Brady, Mahomes, Jokic, Luka, and it's like, this is peak male performance. Just all of them, like, shirtless, because it's hilarious. They are, like, some of the best athletes that have, you know, not necessarily athletic ability, but in terms of, like, players in their sport in the last decade, 20 years to go through their sport. But yeah, if someone were to break it, I would probably say like Devin Booker would probably be my best chance. Just because obviously he can get lights out from three and he's also not afraid to shoot 40 times.
I was going to say Booker too.
Yeah. In a game where like Beal and KD are out, I could see it, you know, he's playing against like the Wizards or something. The Wizards are somehow able to keep it close. And he has to stay in the game. He shoots 40 times a game. I think he could get 85, honestly.
Yeah. I would Booker, like just looking at the graphic you guys made, I would say Booker's one of the most likely ones. Donovan Mitchell's not effective enough scorer. Now I live in Utah, so I'm a Utah Jazz fan. I watched Donovan my whole life. If he's on, he's great. But if he's not on, he's going to keep shooting. And I just don't think he's effective enough, you know, to shoot it 40 times a game and get 80 points and stuff off there. But he's third on this list now because Luka passed him, tied with Lillard. And I don't know if Lillard will ever do it again unless Giannis is out. So, yeah, I would say Booker, you know, especially with how much Bill and KD miss and how the lack of depth that they kind of have off the bench. Yeah, Booker would seem really good to me. The other one, and I don't know how he's not up here, but I feel like Jason Tatum should have some crazy games. But then again, the Celtics are just so dang good. He doesn't have an opportunity to even score 50 points because they can pass the ball to anyone. Kristaps Porzingis, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday and stuff. So it would have to be an ideal situation for him. But yeah, I feel like Tatum should have an opportunity to get some of those because he's such an elite scorer. He just, you know, has the best team around him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and nothing against Joel Embiid. He's amazing. Obviously, he's up here with 70, but I'm not trying to see a Joel Embiid game where he, you know, if he scores 80, you know he's getting 45 free throws.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to watch that. But and I'm not even saying like he flops or doesn't really get fouled in the, he gets fouled. I mean, he's just so physically dominant. Like that's kind of just what happens. But you know, if he scores 85, he's shooting 45 free throws.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it would be boring to watch. And you know, if he's at 80 points, they're just going to keep calling fouls and stuff because they're like, oh, let's get him 90 or whatever. Yeah. Like they're going to just keep calling fouls for him. So this brings me to my next post or the next post you guys thing that I kind of want to talk on. You talked about the top 10 players in the NBA. Joel Embiid's number one, Luka Doncic two, Jokic three, Shea four, and Giannis five. And then Halliburton six, Anthony Davis seven, Durant eight, LeBron nine, Kawhi Leonard 10. You gave honorable mention Jason Tatum, Jalen Brunson, De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker. First thing I want to talk about, did you hear Draymond Green's podcast the other day talking about how he thinks it's bullshit that the NBA implemented the certain number of game rules for MVP?
Yeah.
With Embiid up here, and obviously he's going to miss tonight against the Jazz, and he might miss a couple other games because of the knee injury. What do you think of that rule? Do you think there's some value to what Draymond Green said, or do you agree with it?
I think the sentiment of what he said is correct. Like, I do think that it is definitely possible for, especially a player like Embiid, who has kind of been in MVP talks before. Like, obviously, he's always pretty dominant, but he's kind of like Luka. They've both been very, very good for quite some time now, but they just haven't gotten that MVP. And, you know, when that player realizes, I feel like, you know, 30, 40 games through the season, they've realized it's in their grasp. Like Embiid is technically the favorite. I know if you look at a lot of books, he might not be just because of that rule mostly and his injuries. So Draymond's not totally wrong. If Embiid feels like that MVP is in his grasp, he's definitely going to try to push it and try to play those games, which isn't great, obviously. But the other side of it, I understand the rule, because to be the most valuable player, you have to be on the court. Agreed. You have to be, you know, you have to be available for your team. You have to have a good season. It's always been about record. You know, you can't be the eighth seed. And even if you're a really good player, you're probably not going to win MVP. That's why Luka struggles every year to win MVP, because his team is always around the seventh seed. So I see both sides of the coin. I would maybe lower the limit a little bit. Maybe 65 is a little bit too much. But regardless, I know Halliburton, if he misses like two more games, he can't make the All-Pro team. And obviously he's deserving of that because he's been amazing this year, but he's had some injuries. And that's another thing. Is he going to push that, hurt his hamstring again? It kind of sucks. I think the rule is maybe a little bit more, does a little bit more harm than it does good, but I completely understand why they would implement it. I think it more so maybe get rid of the rule, and it really just plays into the mind of the voters about how much they really think availability matters in terms of, you know, the difference between the first and second player and how good they were and how available they were.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if Luka and Joel, they continue their seasons about they're both having, and Joel misses 25 games and Luka misses three. I mean, they both had incredible seasons. You got to give it to Luka. He's missed way less games. Yep. Now, if Luka falls off a little bit and Joel's season looks a lot better, even with those games missed, then I have no problem giving it to Embiid. That's kind of how I do.
I totally agree with you, where the premise of the rule is great, because if you're the most valuable player, you're not going to be missing. Like, if you're the best player on your team, you're not that valuable, I guess, if you're missing. My point is, like, if you're missing 30 games, how are you going to be the best player on your team? Because in my opinion, the best ability is ability, but that is dependent on availability. If you're not available, it don't matter what ability you have. Like, Joel Embiid is the best player in the NBA. Same with, you know, or you could argue Nikola Jokic. But they're not the best player in the NBA if they're not on the court. Like, what does Jokic or Embiid do for your team every night if they're sitting out 30 games a season? So I agree with you. I like the idea that you brought up. Maybe just tell people, like, hey, like, it's going to be brought up in MVP voting. Like, it doesn't have to be a certain name or game limit like it is right now, 65. But, hey, if you only play 50 games a year, that's going to affect you significantly, which it should. I agree with it. It totally should. You should be on the court for your team to be the most valuable player, and it should be affected. But then again, I do agree with Draymond. Like, you don't want Joel Embiid going out there and pushing it just because he needs to not miss, you know, a certain amount of games to get the MVP and get hurt like he does. So I think both of them are right. I would probably agree a little bit more with the NBA, and obviously Draymond's going to stand up for the players because he's, you know, a player at himself, but I agree a little bit more. Like, as a fan, I don't want the MVP being someone that only played 40 games, no matter how good he was. I want to watch the stars play. And that's why I kind of have a problem with the NBA and why I think it's not that good of a league anymore, is because these stars 100%. Are missing so many games. Like, they're missing so many games, and it's so boring. And this bugs me a little bit more because I'm a Jazz fan, but every time LeBron plays in Utah, he sits out. Same with Embiid. We get a game on TNT tonight at 8 p.m. and Embiid's out. And it's not because of load management. I get it. But I swear, every time the stars come to Utah, they sit out. I don't blame them. It's not a big market. They probably want to just stay home and party. But as an NBA fan, there's a lot of Lakers fans that pay big money, and even Jazz fans that pay money to go watch LeBron James play in Utah, and 90% of the time he sits out. So that's why I have a problem with the NBA, and that's why I think this rule and premise is at least good, and they can build off of it. Maybe they need to tweak it a little bit, but I agree that you just can't be an MVP if you're not playing the majority of games.
Yeah, for sure. What'd you think of the list, though?
You could
trash it.
No, I'm not going to trash it. But I think Jokic is the most dynamic player in the NBA. What he does night in and night out, passing, defense, rebounding, and scoring, I still think he's the best player in the NBA, the most dynamic one. I'd probably put Embiid 2, Luka 3. I agree with Shea where he is high. I love Tyrese Haliburton, but man, it's kind of crazy to see him that high. I know he's dominating, but I still like seeing him above Kevin Durant and LeBron is still kind of crazy just because those are big names. But I don't disagree with anything. Maybe I would have thrown Jason Tatum in the top 10 because I think he's the best player on the best
comment.
Team. I think he's the best player on the best team in the NBA. And like you mentioned, if you're talking MVP, you got to have a good record. So that would maybe be the one thing I'd throw in there. But I think the list is pretty dang accurate, maybe minus a couple. What did you think was the biggest problem with it?
I was the one that made the list, but it actually, this wasn't the final list that I made. There were some changes that were made to it. I didn't really have Kawhi in there. I know he's been like crazy good the past 20 or so games in terms of his efficiency, but he is a guy who... There are nights where he goes out and he scores 17 points, and that's normal for him. Obviously, he can score 35 any night he wants. He's incredible. There was a point in time where people were saying he was the best player in basketball, and he's been so efficient for the last 25 or so games. But when I look at guys like I would say Tatum and Brunson are both over guys like Leonard and LeBron. Maybe even KD in terms of it's just this season. Obviously, if I'm picking, I'm like, I need to win one basketball game. I'm going to have some of those guys. Yeah. But like Brunson is the Knicks have been incredible this year in terms of like what they've done, especially the last like, you know, 15 games ever since they made that trade. And something to be said that Brunson is like the small little guy and he's, you know, he's averaging like, you know, 28-8 or whatever it is. You know, he's been incredible. Tatum, like you said, that was the most popular comment. I'm not a huge Tatum guy, but he obviously is very good. He's well-rounded. He can pretty much do every aspect of basketball, both sides of the court. And obviously they are the best team, which you could take some points from him just because obviously he plays on a very good team. He doesn't have to do everything by himself, but also he is on the best team. So maybe that adds some points to him, just like the MVP conversations. So there's like a couple changes, but overall, if we're basing it off just this season and we talk a guy like, you know, it, like you said, it's crazy to see Haliburton there, but also look at the assist to turnover ratio. I mean, there's no better playmaker in basketball right now. It's insane. Yeah. Now the team doesn't play any defense. They could be a little bit better, but in terms of their offense, it's insane. They have one of the best offenses in the league. And obviously they just made a big trade. So we'll see how that kind of plays out. They've been doing pretty well over the last couple games. Obviously Haliburton just came back from the injury. I have Brunson assists tonight over 7.5. So we hope that hits. But yeah, that's my opinion on the list. People are going to, if you do look at all the Jason Tatum comments, you look at some bios, you're going to see some Shamrocks. You're going to see some Go Celtics. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
The other name I'm seeing a ton in the comment section is Anthony Edwards. Am I missing out on Anthony Edwards? Like, I don't watch many Timberwolves games. I know they're really good, and I've watched them because of, you know, Rudy Gobert and Cat and stuff. Like, I've seen games, but what's the Anthony Edwards love? Are those Timberwolves fan, or is there legitimately people that think he's a top 10 player in the NBA? Like, I'm not – he's top 20 in my opinion, but top 10 is kind of crazy, right? That's kind of a crazy comment.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe like 16, around 16, 17, I think like maybe you could put him as an honorable mention. Once again, they are the number one seed, I still think, in the West. So that, you know, maybe that plays into it a little bit. Obviously, like Edwards, when he's on, he can score almost better than anyone in the NBA. Like, he's one of the best scorers. But obviously, he has a lot of nights where he's just off. That's kind of, you know, the player that he is. I think as he matures, he'll obviously get a little bit more efficient. But he's also super athletic. He is one of the best, you know, defensive players for his position. Like that he can play both sides of the court. That's pretty rare. I agree. I don't think he's top 10, but I think if you threw him at the end of the honorable mentions, I don't think it'd be crazy.
Yeah, I just saw that like a ton, like obviously with the Tatum and a lot of people were saying Curry too, but I was just seeing in my head. I'm like, man, is he really like that good? Like, I don't know. So, but no, I thought it was a pretty good list. And last thing we'll kind of talk about, you hit on it. You're talking about how you have how ASC betting is back. Like you, I think you tweeted something or didn't tweet something. It was a post on Instagram or a story. And it was like ASC betting coming back is not something I saw happening in 2024. Well, guys, it's back. And you know, Soli right now, if you just were to follow Soli's picks, he's 6-2, and they post graphics every day of each people's picks. There's 8 of them here, so you can kind of make a parlay off of whatever you want or however you do it. And ASC has different codes for like 3 different sporting apps. Is it, it's Underdog, Better, and Prize Picks, or
no? We don't have Prize Picks. We got Dabble.
Okay, I knew there was like a random one in there. So you know, if you guys want to get a code or get some money back from them, use their code and get your first deposit matched. Whatever. But let's talk about some of these bets you've hit on, or maybe just talk about the ones this week or today. Anthony Edwards over 11.5. What is that, points or I'm not points, Anthony sorry, Davis. Rebounds? Anthony
Davis, sorry. It was rebounds. That was a typo. He got ruled inactive about 5 minutes after posting that. So he is not going to be playing. And that also kind of affects James's pick. He had Lakers plus 12.5. Yeah. That might have been baked into the line a little bit, considering 12.5 is a ridiculous amount. But they are playing the Celtics. Celtics are home. Obviously, that they're the best home team. So that kind of does make sense. I think LeBron's out as well, but someone was saying he's in. I'm not sure on his status, but yeah. So James is probably might take an L there, but it's the NBA. Who knows? 12.5 is a lot of points.
That is a lot of points.
There are a lot of blowouts, and that's also why I kind of hate betting the NBA, but it's also like player props are – I'm not a fan of like taking a line on a team just because you never really know how they're going to perform. Like some teams just give up. Third quarter, they're down by 12. They give up. They just don't care. They pull the starters, everything, blah, blah, blah. But I like doing the player props just because, like, you know, like, Brunson is playing the Pacers tonight. 7.5 assists is a little sketchy to me, in my opinion. Yeah. I almost took the under because it's a little too sketchy.
Yeah.
Because his line is – usually their line pretty much stays the same. It's usually just whatever they're averaging for the most part. Brunson is either, like, 6.5 or 7.5 for assists. And I've taken his assists a lot this year. And ever since they've made the OG trade, he has been a facilitator. He's still a scorer, obviously. He's doing everything for them. But he's been a very good facilitator for them. And 7.5 assists against one of the worst defenses in the league that plays very fast in the Pacers. I don't know. I feel good about that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm 6-2. I had CJ McCollum. That was my first loss. I had over, I think, 24.5 points, rebounds, assists. I wasn't watching the game. I check after the first quarter. 10 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. He went 4-for-4 from the field. I was like, oh, lights out. Guy's killing it. Because when CJ's on, he's on. He's one of those guys. You know, he's a shooter. He's a volume shooter. When he's on, he's on. He's going to score a lot. When he's off, he gets cold and he sucks. He recorded, I think, 1 stat for the rest of the game. So he missed like 7 shots. He got like 1 rebound and that was it. And they got blown out. He did play like 30 minutes, so it was, I don't know how he didn't hit it. But yeah, that was the first loss that I took. And what was the second loss?
I was just trying to look at this. It looks like it was Tim Hardaway Jr. Yeah, you had night. Over 23.5 points.
Yep, Luka was out. Tim Hardaway's been lighting it up. Even with Luka there, Tim Hardaway, another guy. I'm kind of done taking these streaky guys. Anthony Edwards, Tim Hardaway, CJ McCollum, because their lines are, I mean, Tim, 23.5 is not super high, but it's decently high. And it's like, you're just flipping a coin. Like if he's on, he's going to get it. If he went 5-for-14, like, you know, he just wasn't on. He missed all of his shots. And they got blown out. Yeah. And he only played like 27 minutes, where usually he plays. If Luka's out, he's playing 36 minutes. So that's kind of a thing. But what I did think was funny was I've had people comment on the post 2 times. We've been doing it for 8 days now. Two comments specifically about my picks, being like, oh, I'm going to pick Sully's pick. Like, Sully's hot. Both losses, both those days. So I kind of feel bad for that person. And I've hit every other day. And like I said, I have given a lot of other picks out because some people don't pick in time. And I'm 6-0 in giving picks out. So I gave out LeBron assists. I gave out Sengun assists. I gave out Chiefs plus 4.5. I gave De'Aaron Fox points and assists. I'm dishing out here. So I'm pretty, I don't want to toot my horn, but I'm pretty much 12-2, which I'm very bad at gambling. So I suggest you start fading quickly because I'm going to come back to earth.
Soli was saying before the podcast, he's like, I know as soon as I start putting money down on this stuff and not just making the graphics, he's like, it's not going to hit. So He's going to not gamble, so you guys can take his picks and win. He's going to take a sacrifice in his own pocketbook, so you guys can too. But that means you have to use their code so that you guys can support them and they can get some channel kickback. So, but no, ASC Betting's back again on Instagram. That's just ASC Betting, nothing special. And if you guys don't already follow All Sports Culture, it's just All Sports Culture, no caps, no spaces, no underscores, nothing. Go follow them. Post like this all the time. I'm sure what you guys got anything planned. I know you guys said you've been, it's been a little slow in the sports world. And the thing that sucks about the Super Bowl is as soon as it's over, man, it's kind of boring for sports. I mean, all you already have is NHL, NBA. And then once March hits, you got the, I guess at the end of February, you got baseball, but then March, is opening day and stuff. So it might be a little slow just because I feel like football is the king in America and that's going to end here soon. And unless you guys cover the USFL and the XFL, because they did just combine. So I don't know what you guys got planned for that. But
you know us. We try to get creative. So when there's I could argue that, when there's downtime in sports, that's kind of when we shine. Just because we don't post clips that you've seen 1,400 times like ESPN does. They literally post the same clip that I've seen maybe 1,000 times. How many times have you seen the Cam Newton clip when he goes Clay Matthews? He's like, you've been watching film, huh? Watch this. I've seen that 1,500 times.
Yeah.
And that, they probably just posted it like 2 seconds ago. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. But what's funny about that? This is my last thought. I don't want to ramble and sound like I'm a sore loser, but if we post something that someone has seen before, that's all the comments. They've say, I've seen this. This is old, blah, blah, blah. This is so dumb. ESPN posts it. People fucking love it.
Yeah.
I think it's because we have a lot of, like hardcore sports fans and like they like follow sports a lot closer than the people that obviously ESPN has 350 million followers or whatever it is. So they kind of have, just guys that, crack open a beer and watch a game once in a while. So a lot of times that stuff kind of slips through. Maybe they haven't seen it before and whatnot. But we get peppered if we ever reuse content or anything like that. So it just makes our job harder. But, it's good to see. I don't want to be someone that just, kind of posts something that's happened, before, like a clip. So
yeah, how dare you guys republish content and stuff and make us remember all the good things that have happened throughout the 80 years of good sports that we've had. So how dare you guys? I mean, come on, let's be a little
shame on us.
Shame on you guys. No, Super Bowl will be fun. Maybe we'll have an episode before the Super Bowl, just depending on how much news and stuff comes out. But if not, I want the Niners. You said you want the Chiefs. And so it'll be fun to come back on here and see. And then obviously I'm sure we'll have tons of headlines, whether it's Taylor Swift and the Chiefs or, the Niners finally getting over the hump. And then obviously the MLB will have the All-Star game. We'll talk about some All-Star snubs or, the dunk contest. I don't know. The dunk contest has been kind of lame the last couple of years. It was fun last year in Utah. I was there for the 3-point contest and Damian Lillard won. And when, he went to college in Ogden, Utah and stuff. And so there was a lot of support for him and he wore his college jersey out. And so he won that. And then Mac McClung, coming in and winning. Yeah. And then, so it was decent last year and stuff, but we'll see how it is this year. Did you hear Steph and what's her name? Sabrina from the WNBA.
What's her name? Aya Nosca.
It's pronounced. Weird. Like I know. Okay. I know what it looks like, but I can't. Yeah. Is there any chance she wins?
Listen, I mean, it's a 3-point contest. She could win. You're just shooting the basketball.
The WNBA is shorter than the NBA, right? So is she going to shoot from WNBA and Steph's going NBA?
That was originally the plan. And then she made a tweet that was like, I'm shooting from the NBA line. So I think she's going to shoot from the NBA line. But who knows what's going to happen. But I don't know. I don't know if Steph's going to take it easy or if he's going to lock in and go demon time. But we'll see. I mean, it's just, you're shooting 3-pointers. I think she could definitely win. I don't think it's crazy. Steph's the greatest 3-point shooter of all time. If he loses this, no one cares. It doesn't matter.
The only thing we need now is DeMarcus Cousins, Brittany Griner matchup because she called him out too. Yeah, get that going. NBA.
That was like a lot of the comments when it was announcing on Instagram and it was like, you still owe us Griner versus DeMarcus Cousins.
For sure. I've been waiting for that for years. So let's get
that. That is my number one sports clip right there is when they were interviewing the people at Team USA. And I think they asked,
I think it was the UConn head coach.
Yeah, Gino Auriemma.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, who do you think would win? He was like, I would sell my house, go to the bank, take the money out, and put it all on DeMarcus Cousins.
Yep, yep. It's awesome. And he's a college basketball, what the greatest college basketball coach of all time, and he's coached, you know, in that league. He's coached with the NBA players on Team USA. Like, yeah, it's when you have someone like that that has that many accolades coaching your sport and he says that, it's kind
of,
hey, if she thinks it, I would pay money to see it. Like if they need
a lot of money,
if they need a pay-per-view, you know, if they're going to put it on pay-per-view and make us do it, like it's a best of 3 to 11 points or something, like I'd put $80 on it. Like I do a UFC fight. It would be kind of fun. Yeah. So invite the boys over, you know, get some 100%. Pizza, whatever.
I think it'd be over pretty quick, but I'd be down to watch.
I would too. So, but no, appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, follow All Sports Culture on Instagram. Make sure you guys rate us 5 stars on the podcast, like the episode, and you know, make sure you're subscribed so you can catch any other episodes. But until next time, you know, Soli, it's been good, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Peace out, guys.